speaker on? You can open your Bibles this morning to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. And also, as you want to coordinate, go to Galatians, which is right after Corinthians chapter 5. In this time, the phrase social distancing, I'd never heard that before till this time and period that we're living in. So I looked to the Word of God and found out that there is such thing as social distancing according to the Apostle Paul. And he had to teach it to the Corinthians. He had to teach it to the Galatians. He had to teach it to the churches that he went to and spoke to and left the word for us today. So I want to read in chapter 5, beginning verse 1. It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife, and you are puffed up and have not rather mourned that he who has done this deed might be taken away from you. For I verily, as absent in the body but present in the spirit, have judged already, as though I were present, concerning him who has done this deed. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together, and my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit might be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Your glorying is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as you are leavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with the old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators, yet not altogether with the fornication of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters, for then you must needs go out of the world. But I have written unto you not to keep company if any man who is called a brother, or a fornicator, or a covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such one know not to eat. For what have I do to judge them also who are without? Do you not judge them who are within? But them who are without, God judges. Therefore put away among yourselves that wicked person. And to compare that with Galatians, let's go over to chapter 5. Stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith God has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. Let's go down. He says, I don't want to read the whole chapter, but verse 9, again, he repeats, a little leaven leaveneth the whole bunch. And he's what, up to that point, he's talking about if you believe in anything else that can save you besides the work of Christ, that's not it. But if ye are led by the Spirit, verse 18, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Paul is talking about this going on in the church. He's making it clear. You can't isolate yourself. People tried to do that in the 70s when we had communes, and people would go and they would live together so they would have very little dealings with the world. He's not talking about that. He said, if you're in the world, you're going to have to deal with people like this in the world. But it's not my business to judge them. God will do that. But he said, it is my business to judge in the church. And he said, these things shouldn't be going on in the church. And if a person is involved in this, what he's saying is social distance yourself from them. Now, what he did not say was talk down to them, be rude to them. He said, don't go hang out with them like they're part of the body of Christ and be okay with it. I want to break down just a few of these things today. Fornication, if you look it up in a biblical dictionary, it's man's sin against himself. Because what a person is doing is they're satisfying their urges, their physical urges, like an animal does. You see the little puppy this morning whined and yelled to come in because
social animal.
A social animal. They're part of a pack. They want to be together. She wanted her needs met, yet she's too young to know that when you're in here, now you've got this need met. No, she wanted more. It was a great example of a fornicator. They want to appease the flesh. That's why we teach our children, we're not like the animals. We have a morality that animals don't have inside of them. They are born and they have a primal need to satisfy or get their needs met. And they have no reasoning about that. We've been given a conscience, a reasoning mechanism that allows us, I may want this, but it's not good for me, so I'm going to abstain from it. Do you see that? The second one, greed. Greed is when you're exploiting others for personal gain. I am only privy to the same information you all have about Bill Gates. But there's a lot of suspicion about him right now. There is accusations that he exploited the continent of Africa for personal gain. And let me tell you, it's not far-fetched, even though I'm not a conspiracy theorist. In our history in America, there have been crimes from the government committed against black people that we have documentation of today, where black women were sterilized without their knowledge or consent so they could not reproduce. That black men were given shots believing it was for one thing, and they inflicted them with syphilis so they could study the effects of it. So to me, a person who has a ownership in vaccines, and they're already billionaires, but it's not enough. That they would go to a continent where people around the world in general, if you're outside of a compassionate mindset or a loving God, do not care about those in Africa, and give vaccines that contain sterilization and other things where children have died since receiving the vaccines. An example of greed exploiting others for personal gain. What we have to be in the mindset in the body of Christ is we are thankful that he meets our needs. We're thankful when he supplies more than we need, and we're so thankful that they're willing to share with others.
Yeah.
How many of you, everybody here has contributed to us taking out and delivering things in the community that were needed? Because did you know, even though the school district here in Jacksonville, they can't do it in Rusk right now, is providing lunches, even though the food banks are giving away and having people line up down from the other church three blocks waiting for free food distribution, there are people who have no vehicle to go pick up a free lunch, who have no access to go wait in line for a food bank. So we've identified people who've fallen through the cracks, and we took them supplies, food, because you all contributed to that. And we don't put it on Facebook, because to me, when we give and we take pictures of it and show it, that's a form of exploitation. See, none of us who went out were just the ones that were giving. We gave from people who gave from the church. So I'm not saying that to take any glory. We just were the deliverers. But we don't post it or put it out there to say, oh, look how good we are, look what we're doing. Because the Lord taught us in his word not to let the right hand know what the left hand's doing. And being dyslexic, I'm sure I said that backwards. But the point is, don't bring attention. Because if you want to be what you do in secret, God will reward openly. So, knowing that, that's a whole nother message. People who are always down and out and lack apparently have not learned that the premises of that. Because who are the ones who are always blessed? Openly. The ones who have done
Amen.
In secret. God has taken care of us, and it's not for our own personal gain, although he has no problem that we enjoy what he's given, as long as we are thinking of him first and the body of Christ second. Because there is a hierarchy to giving that he tells in our word. And one thing that he has a heart for is widows and orphans. And I thank God that I learned when I was a widow that the Lord my maker is my husband. And I didn't have to suffer under the shame of being a widow in the biblical sense, because widows at that time had no means of income of their own. God has taken care of me and provided me with ideas and plans and things to take care that he has given me that provide for myself. The third thing we can sum up in here, social distancing, is idolatry. See, we tend to think of these terms in ways that we've used them in the modern world, and I want you to think beyond that. Idolatry is failure to give God first place in your life. So if you have a desire, if you have an addiction, if you have anything that is compelling you to do it first before you think of God, that is idolatry. And we think because we don't set up a graven image somewhere that we're okay, we're not idolaters. But nowhere is worse than the American culture, where you just turn on your TV and you see advertisements of everything we need to make us look young, sexy, and rich. And people strive to meet the criteria of success in the American culture. Social distancing. What does he say? He said, I'm not talking about people in the world. I expect that from people of the world. He said, I'm talking about people in the church living this way. And this time when we are set apart, when we are supposed to be gathering only under particular circumstances, and in some places or where some of our listeners are living, they're not even allowed. Bishop Otenga was talking to me yesterday, and he said they're on lockdown in Kenya. They can't even leave the house. That's that way some places around the world. But in this social distancing, according to St. Paul, he said, I'm grievous because I've come to visit you in the spirit. I haven't even been there physically, yet I already hear the reports of what is happening. I understand, Paul. I get more information about people than I'd rather never know, because people want the pastor to know. Some people want the pastor to know righteous reasons because, Pastor, join me in prayer. I am grievous over this behavior. Pray with me. This has to be stopped. And there are some people who just do it because they like salacious gossip and they like to share the worst about everything. Even poor Nikki and Brooke, when they pick up the phone at work, sometimes they get tattlers from the community that want to tell on other people because they want the church to know, look at this person who goes to your church and what they did. She could care less. We're sorry. We're sorry that people are real and they have they have humanity and whatever, a woundedness they have in their life, that they have made bad decisions. What Paul says is you don't go out to dinner with the people who are living like this. You don't go to social events with people who are living like this. People in the church, do you get it? This yes. is a time when we're called together to isolate, that God is preparing us. We can blame it on a virus, we can blame it on politics, but nothing happens that God does not allow. And this time that he's brought us down to this level, to be in our homes, to be not business as usual, it gives us time to think and prepare. He wants us to know his word. He wants us to be in obedience to his word, because what has happened in the last decade, in a time that is called seeker-sensitive churches, the churches have been encouraged not to read or say anything that is offensive that would make a person not want to come back to your church. So we saw mega churches grow exponentially because they have good entertainment during the worship hour. And people sit there and watch them and listen. We have the best music in our church. Isn't that wonderful? And they're applauding the musicians,
but they're not worshiping God.
They say, our pastor, he's the best. Or she's the best. We feel so good. They always tell us something great, uplifting, positive when we come there. Paul, I'm telling you Paul's words. Don't shoot the messenger. If you don't like it, just rip those pages out of your Bible. But don't be mad at me for telling you what he said. He said, you're going to have these problems in the church. And he said, do not fellowship with them on a social level, but pray, God, turn them over to Satan that they might be shaken and woken up so that they do not lose their salvation, but they return to a place of fellowship with God. Are you hearing me this morning?
Yes.
Are you hearing me at home this morning?
Yeah.
Oh, good. This time of going inward is the time to reflect and say, God, I hear your word. I want to be obedient to your word. Because it's bad enough that we know the world operates like this. But when it comes into the church, it's a stench in the nostrils of God. And he wants us to get it out of the church. And this is a time right now of being inwards in our home. That's a time of saying, yes, Lord, I don't want this. And I want to prepare right now. Because I believe, like many people, if we prepare, if we're praying in our homes, if we're making preparation, if we're celebrating Passover and we've gotten rid of the leaven, when we come out, we're ready for a great awakening. A great awakening that has been prophesied in God's word and told about over and over again by many prophets in the world today. A great awakening for the church to walk boldly, for the church to see more souls saved than ever before. Wouldn't it be, we have a whole nother facility. You know that God is already preparing and projecting and talking to me about that church being full? And let me tell you something. I never want to, I don't even like to be on camera. Even though God may call me to be on camera, it's not something I long for. I'm not Hollywood elite, so I'm not somebody who would be chosen to do that by the world. I would not project a picture of me preaching there. You know what God has showed me? A pastor there preaching. A pastor there filling up that church. A pastor there preaching the word of God and reaching that neighborhood. That's what I want. That's what I see in my vision. And it's not about me. It's about us expanding and once again doing more than we've ever done before for the body of Christ.
Amen.
You know what it takes? It takes people without egos that are able to say, oh, yes, Lord. People without control issues that say, no, I have to do this. It has to be. No, it takes people who are willing and saying, I'll say yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. And being ready and praying right now and say, Lord, we want it. We don't want to be left out. We know, we believe you are coming soon. And we want to be part of that last great awakening where we see revival on a scale that the world has never seen it before. I can tell you, in Africa, no matter what has been perpetrated against that country, true or untrue, I know believers, I know pastors, Pastor Otenga, who has been faithful. When we first started, he had one church. Now he has multiple churches. I've lost count. And not only in Kenya, but in Uganda and in Tanzania. And it's local pastors. They get saved. They get called. They get sent. And that's what God wants to see. We don't have Christian education just because we're offering something superior to the world. We have Christian education because we're training them. Like little Harmony, 3 years old, leading praise and worship. Your babies, they go up and they just believe they're part of the leaders of praise and worship. And you may think it's play, but let me tell you what play is for childhood. Is it practicing the roles that they will step into when they are adults? And they are reaching children right now that maybe I can't even reach myself. But they're reaching them. And then when she says line up, they line up. And when she says we're going to sing this song, nobody sits down on Harmony. They stand up and they sing that song. Isn't that great?
Yes.
This is what God is bringing us into. I'm so excited. I am just preparing by praying every day. And we have got to be disciplined into prayer. Because I remember coming home at night. And sometimes it would be my dad in the living room kneeling by the sofa. Sometimes it would be my mom kneeling by the sofa. And they didn't say a little five lines and say, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
They spent time in prayer. And if you don't know how to do it, then I invite you to share with me in Big Power in Prayer Ministries, 10 a.m., 10 p.m. We pray for an hour. Sometimes we go over an hour. And you think, how can we do it? See, that helped. Being with a group helped discipline me. Because I didn't want to leave the group. I wanted to learn to pray and pray and stay in that prayer. And it so disciplined me that even if after a year of the group not doing it online, I would still wake up praying in tongues because I had been disciplined to do so. I challenge the church. You want to see the move of God? It doesn't begin in here. It begins at home on your knees. Interceding for the things that we need in the church, interceding for the lost souls of the world. That's when we will see the difference coming to pass. I'm telling you, businesses have folded all across America because they can't do business as usual. They have no income. And these loans, all the reports I read said the money's gone and we have all these hurting people still. What we need to do is pray. God, pray. End this epidemic. End this time of isolation. Take care of your people because he's doing it. Everybody I'm talking to is saying, yeah, God's sustaining us. God's sustaining us. We're doing okay. We're doing all right. You need anything? Because we have a little bit more we can share with you. That's how it is in the body of Christ. Isn't that wonderful? We
Amen.
Should be shouting
yes.
that we are part of a group that has enough to share. And we can identify people who are falling through the cracks and aren't being reached by all the groups that are reaching them. And we praise God that we are still sowing into the beautiful, aren't they beautiful children? Jim, I don't know why other people don't want to give to the scholarship fund. They haven't had the experience of seeing these beautiful children. Brooke,
who are just hungry for the mm-hmm. things of the Lord. They're hungry for schoolwork. You know what they have with their packets? I've had parents call me, say, I need help. I need to get my child enrolled right now because the schoolwork that they're getting online, they don't know how to do, and I don't know how to do. I've even had people in California call me and said, can you help me out? I gotta get something for my children to do that I can understand and they can understand. That's wonderful. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. To what they need. And church, it's not enough to take care of our own. I'm preaching to the choir, I know, this morning, but I'm reaching people who may be listening. We care. We're giving. You're giving. I don't even ask because I pray, and the Holy Spirit touches men's and women's hearts to give. I believe in that principle.
And amen. He's doing
that. We've seen that. More people pray that they will have a heart to establish. Well, we've established a scholarship fund to contribute to it so that we can help these beautiful children who God loves.
Yes, amen.
God's placed something. Look, I was one of those children. I was 4 years old from a heathen family. My mom would help me across the street so I could go to church. We lived across the street from a church. My whole family, extended family on that side, they're serving the Lord today. And many of them are in ministry. Isn't that great?
Yes.
I was one of those little kids who they could have said, well, we don't care about her. Yet when I walked in to church, I was overwhelmed by the love of God. And when they gave an altar call in children's church, I wanted to secure my position in Christ, and I went forward to ask him to be my Savior. And it not only transformed my life at age 4, it transformed the life of my primary family and my extended family. That's what we're doing when we reach those children. We're reaching into their homes. And those that we could not share the gospel with or would hear from us, they can listen to the testimony of their children who are taking the gospel into the homes they live in. That's something to pray for, that other people would get that burden, that would want to see. Man, if nothing else, if you live in this city and you are listening, you should want to invest in your city of Jacksonville, because Christianity, when it comes in and when it educates and when it takes kids off the street and keeps them every day for 10 to 12 hours, they are not outside roaming, doing mischief, and bringing bad things into the neighborhood. Everybody here say a big amen, amen to that.
Amen.
They're here doing wonderful, creative things. You should have seen the group with Jim.
Mm-hmm.
Building, painting, doing things that they've never had the chance to do, and loving every minute, and having a father figure to do it with. You know who's loved
amazing.
Here? They love us. You hear when the kids come in, Pastor Deborah, Miss Brooke. But many of them have no stable man in their lives. And they love Mr. Is, Mr. Is, Dr. Jim, Dr. Jim. Because they have a man that is kind, that they see every day. They see them working. And you know what they ask them? Do you have anything for me to do? Can I help you with anything? You know why they want to do it?
What are you doing?
Yeah, what are you doing? Because they want to be a part of that. They want that attention of a stable man that they haven't had in their lives.
Oh, if you don't think we're doing anything, that's a function of the church, that we're teaching children there's such thing as a good, good father. And you can learn it here, and then you'll understand that there is a heavenly father like that, who always wants us to be near them, who always wants to teach us new things, and always will love us and be good to us. Social distancing. You learn it this morning? Don't worry about the world. But when it comes to the church, say, I'm not going to be able to meet you there. But I'm praying for you, brother. See, you think that's hard. Jesus told Peter before the crucifixion, Peter, Satan is going to sift you. You know what sifting does? Takes away the lumps, the leaven, and only lets the fine stuff come through. Jesus prayed that, said that to Peter, and Peter was able to do exploits for the body of Christ. That same cussing bipolar Navy man that lived for himself was transformed into a man that went out into the world sharing the gospel, ultimately giving his life for Christ. Oh, church, this is the time to prayer. Prepare. Prepare me, Lord. Prepare me. Bring in, usher in that great awakening. I want to be an instrument in that last day revival. Bow your heads. Father, we just thank you for the word. God, I ask that you would stir up the gifts of the people who are in here, like you have done. Lord, stir up the gifts of the people who are listening to this message remotely today. Stir up the gifts in their life that they are no longer satisfied with church as usual. But Lord, they start preparing for that great awakening, and the things that you have placed in their life that they can use, that they are part of the body of Christ. And Lord, we will not tolerate, the wickedness of people who come in because they want something. The people who chase Jesus as long as he was giving out free food and miracles, they were with him. But Lord, we want to be like the ones who ended up at the cross with you, because to the end, we do not want to be afraid, but we want to be with you till the end. And Lord, we want to be part of this time for you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.